together again. And you started trying to, but you realized that those pieces, because of whatever happened in your life, the shattered pieces just don't fit like they used to. But then Jesus walked in and said, you don't have to pick up all those pieces. You just leave the pieces alone. I'll take care of that. But in the meantime, I'm going to hold everything you got together. And when you felt like you was falling apart, you didn't know what to do. But I'm glad that God don't shy away from people that are falling apart. But like that song says, you can just fall in his arms. Do you know why I get so excited when I come to church? Especially when I come to this place, this church. It's because when the choir is singing, I feel what they're singing about. I've lived some of that. You've lived some of that. These are not just words and lyrics to songs. The world's got all kinds of songs that we'll never live. But the songs we sing in here is things that we know is true. We know who we're singing about. Sure to love the Lord. I'm thankful for his goodness and his grace to somebody like me who's undeserving at best. I can never earn his love or his favor. I can never deserve it, but I'm glad that wasn't the requirement when I met Jesus. There was no list of requirements I had to accomplish just to earn his favor. Now, Muhammad will ask you, what have you done for him? Buddha wants you to know that there's a list of things you got to accomplish before you can follow him. But my Savior knew that I could not get to where he was, so he came to where I was at. I'm thankful that I'm serving a God like him. Aren't you tonight? By the way, if you don't know our Lord and Savior, you came in here and you're just trying to figure out what's all these people going up front for? Why are they coming back wiping tears? And what's wrong with everybody? It ain't what's wrong with everybody. It's what's right in this place with God. And you may be thinking, if I can just find a cigarette, I'll be all right. You don't need a cigarette. You need a Savior. He can put your life back together again. The Bible says in Psalm 46, he said, preach. I feel like running laps and shouting and glorifying him and thanking him for being so good. If I did nothing else but just say, thank you, Jesus, the rest of the night, he's worthy of all that. I cannot thank him enough for his goodness to somebody like me. The Bible tells us in Psalm chapter number 46, you can turn with me and I'll start reading and you get there as soon as you can because it's good. Amen. It's all good. Psalm 46 says this, very, very familiar piece of scripture. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Can I read that again? I felt something on that one. I don't know what that was. It just felt good. Hallelujah. God is our refuge. It didn't say their refuge or your refuge. Our refuge. I'm glad the same God I'm preaching about is the same God that you know about. He's the God that will go home with me, but he's also going to go home with you. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Because of that, the writer continues and says, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. How many of you have noticed that everything that is driving the media today, everything is based on fear? Everything that you watch, everything they talk about, they just came out today. I was trying to find out what the weather was going to be like. And I saw, I had a notification that popped up and said that there is a variant of COVID that's coming back. I want to tell you everything that you can't even look at the weather without hearing something that's going to send us back into a pandemic. I want to tell you something. God was God long before that stuff ever got here. He's God right in the middle of it. He'll be God after it's over with. Therefore, will not we fear. Everything you see today is trying to drive fear in the hearts of people. Fear sells. Fear drives people to panic. But I want to tell you something. God's people, if anybody should ever be bold, it ought to be God's people. If anybody should ever anchor in this hope and this fact, it is that God's in control of it all. And I have nothing to fear. I've got nothing to be afraid of. If God were not on our side, we'd be in a mess. But I'm glad that I've got a God, and I'll plant my feet firm that all my hope is in Jesus Christ. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, even though the things around us are troubled, we do not have to be troubled. Though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And here's a Bible word. You won't find it anywhere else other than your Bible. Selah. You know what that word means? I've tried to study it. There's not a whole lot that you can find out about it. It's such a Jewish term, and it's such a pure term that we don't even use it in our vernacular, but they say that they believe that it means this. Stop for just a minute. Think about what you just heard and take a praise break. Take a minute and think about it. Let that sink in. And I want that to sink into every heart that's in here tonight, whether you're young or whether you're old, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you're strong or whether you're weak, it does not matter who you are. You might have just got saved last week. You might have been saved for 50 years, but every single one of us in here tonight can anchor in the hope that God is our refuge and our strength. He is a very present help in times of trouble. Somebody holler at me, amen. I'm glad that we're talking about a God like him. God is. I can't get past those first two words before I start getting real happy. I was in my study. That many times I've seen this verse. I've seen it at funeral homes. They'll post it on their walls, or maybe even in your house. You've got it in a picture frame, but more than it's hung in a frame and more than it's inscribed on a piece of literature that you'll get from a funeral home, this is a verse of scripture that won't just help you in times where you go to a cemetery, and it won't just help you in times ever so often, but this is a verse that you and I can anchor in every day of our lives. We can anchor in the promise that we have in it. And I started studying this in a time where I needed to hear from God, and I read those first two words, and then I had to back up and read those first two words again, and then I ran back and read them again, and it just simply says, God is. Now, I want to stop just a minute. This is not my sermon, but I do want to clear off a spot and worship him and thank God that he is not the God that was, but he is God that is. I'm glad that the God that I serve, listen now, if you serve Buddha, you can't say nothing like this. If you worship Muhammad, all you can do is think about what they have done. But I'm glad that we're the only religious people. We're the only Christian people. We're the only followers of a religious practice that can say that our God is. Every other God's in the grave. Every other God's buried. But your God tonight, your God is. God is. God is. Listen, let tomorrow, when the devil gets in the car with you and he starts reminding you of what you used to be and what you used to do, then you need to tell the devil, you go ahead and have yourself a fit. Remind me of all that I used to be. But I want to tell you, after you're done, I've got something to tell you. I want to remind you that even though I'm not, my God is. Even though I can't, my God can. Even though I'm not able, my God is able. I'm glad tonight we are serving the God that is. Somebody give God praise. Right there. God is. What I'm trying to tell you is that in times of trouble, your God is. If you ask Adam and said, Adam, tell me what you think about your God, I believe Adam would say, well, God, he is the sinner's friend. If you asked Abraham, Abraham would say, God is the traveler's guide. Moses would say, God is that cleft in the rock. Joshua would say, he is the captain of the Lord's host. Elijah would say, oh, God is that still, small voice. Elisha would say, oh, I know him. He is that host that encamps around me. Samuel would say, he is the anointing oil. David would say, he is the psalm of song. Solomon would say, he is the wisdom of the wise. Those three Hebrew boys, tell me what you think about him. Well, God is that fourth man in the fire. Daniel, tell me what you think about him. Daniel would say, God is the lion tamer. Isaiah, man of prophecy, what would you say about him? Isaiah would rear back and say, he is wonderful. He's counselor, the everlasting father, and the prince of peace. Mary, what do you think about him? Sitting in a little place in Bethlehem one night, she'd say, oh God, God is with us. He is Emmanuel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what you got to say about him? He's the incarnate one. He's the incomparable one. He is the immutable one. He is the incredible one. There's nobody like your God. Paul and Silas in the midnight hour, what do you know about him? Paul and Silas would say, he is the midnight song. And to this church, I want to tell you who your God is. He's that God that is the blessed hope that's coming for us. God is tonight. God is. God is. No matter what you're going through, when you're not, God is. There's a mama in here saying, I wish I was a whole lot better mama than I am to my babies. Honey, I want to tell you something. We all fall short of the goal. We all mess up. But I want to tell you, when you feel like you're not, God is. There's a daddy in here who says, I wish I could raise my kids up right. I wish I wouldn't make mistakes. Daddy, I know how you feel, sir. I've dropped the ball too many times with my own children. But I've leaned on this fact that even when I'm not able, my God is. God is. God is. I'm glad. The Bible tells us that God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. When the Bible speaks of trouble, you have to understand that it don't mean somebody didn't like your Facebook post. That's not the trouble it's talking about. Boy, we like to magnify little issues and make them real big. But sometimes we go through things just because that's life. That's what happens. But when the word trouble comes into your Bible, it is a deep word that means a difficult place, a place of pain and a place of affliction. When trouble in your Bible is spoken of, it means a place of absolute distress. And I want to know, is there anybody in here? And I'll go ahead and answer for you, but I want to ask you, have you ever felt like you've been in a place of absolute distress? I mean, you got to a place in your life that if God didn't help you, you was going to live helpless. You was in a place where you didn't know which direction to go in. You didn't know what to do. You looked around and the kingdom and the life you tried to build just seemed like it was crumbling at the very foundation. And you didn't know what to do. But I'm glad that in those times when life seems to unfold in places that I don't understand, and I've got to go through valleys that I never asked to go through, and I've got to walk through fire that I never intended to walk through. But I'm glad that in those times of distress, in those times of trouble, I've got somewhere that I can run to. I've got someone that I can lean on. I've got a friend that sticks closer than a brother. How many of you ever been in a time of trouble? Say amen. I'm glad that God does not run from trouble, but God will run to you in trouble. The Bible tells us in Job that man that is born of woman. If you got here any other way, I don't have a sermon for you. I don't know how you got here, but we can't even conversate or talk. But if anybody in here has a mama, raise your hand. The Bible says man that is born of woman is few days and full of trouble. If you live longer than a week, you understand what the word trouble means. But I'm thankful that even though we may go through trouble, we do not have to stay in trouble. Even though we experience trouble, we do not have to allow trouble to encapsulate us. But we can get through whatever you're going through right now. God will reveal himself. Somebody ought to say amen to this. God will reveal himself more in times of distress than he will in times of delight. God will reveal how strong he really is in times when you are weak. God is our refuge. The Bible tells us that God is a sheltering help when we are in trouble. That word refuge means a place you can run to, a place you can hide in, a place you can be sheltered by. I like what Proverbs 18 says. It says it just like this. It says the name of the Lord is a high tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. How many of you like that? Now listen, there's a lot of people that's trying to build up things in their name. They're running to what they are. There's even preachers that's trying to establish the glory of their name. But honey, I want to tell you, when I get in distress, it's not me that I want to rest in. When I get in trouble, my children can't depend on me to bring them out. But I'm glad that the righteous run into the name of the Lord. We run into the place of the Lord. It is a high tower. It is a refuge. It's a place. Somebody ought to say amen. I'm glad we've got a place we can run to when we are in trouble. Jesus is that city of refuge for you and me. I found out that anytime, this may surprise you, but when I was growing up, I was the smallest kid in the bunch. Always. And some of you are laughing, and the reason you're laughing is because I'm still the smallest kid in the bunch. I always got picked on by people that were bigger than I am. That's why I hang out with your preacher, because if I can't whoop him, I know he can. And I got stories I could tell you where I've seen him do it in church. See me after church, I'll tell you stories. But I got picked on when I was a kid, and my brother and his friends liked to do that, and it would always bother me, and they'd just bully me and pick on me. But Brother Trent, I found out that there was one place that I could run to and they would never mess with me. And that was when I got close to my dad. I found out there's one place they wouldn't flick my ear. They wouldn't, anybody know what a noogie is? That's why I'm bald today, because they got too many of them. But I found out that if I could get close to my dad, that nobody would mess with me when I was with him. That was my safe place. Well, I want to tell you, there is no greater bully, how many of you know this, than the devil himself. He picks on you. He won't leave you alone. Wouldn't it be good if he just left you alone for a day or two? You could have a good day, but the devil don't like you. He makes fun of you. He hates the relationship that you got with God. But I found out there's one place that the devil can never run to. He can never bother me. And it's when I'm in that safe place with my Father. I'm in that safe place with my God. And when I'm not no matter for the devil, I'm glad that I've got a God that is. I'm glad I've got a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'm glad that when I'm not, God is a refuge in trouble. How many of you've had to run to that place where you could hide under the shelter of the arms of God? Aren't you glad we got a place like that? Now, here's the deal. We got to stop running to Facebook when we get in trouble. We got to stop running to other people when we get in trouble. We've got to realize, and how many times have I done this? I've ran from God when I get in trouble. I've ran from the very place that I can find a refuge when we get in trouble. I want to tell you something. He is not a last resort. He should be our very first resource. That is what that means when it said he is our refuge. Not only is he a sheltering help in trouble, and I know you're tired of me preaching, but he's also a strengthening help in trouble. It says God is our refuge and, say it with me, strength. Now, I wish I could explain that word to you as best as I could, but I can't. And so I've got to take you to a New Testament word and give it to you. The Bible says, and I think you taught on this, but the Bible says that Paul sought the Lord three times to remove the thorn. Boy, I like what you said last night. I won't get over that. And I may even preach on it and say God gave it to me in the middle of the night. But he said too many times those thorns are when we run through the briars instead of running to God. But notice what Paul said. The Bible says that Paul sought the Lord. Now, I want to stop just a minute and give this to you. If the man who is inspired of the Holy Spirit of God to write this had prayers that he asked God to answer and God didn't answer them, don't you think that you and I might have some that God may not answer? He said, I sought the Lord three times to remove the thorn from my flesh. And then he went as far, if you don't understand what that is, he said, a messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. How many of you realize the devil knows your address? He knows how to get a messenger to your house. You can pack your bags and you can move to a new location and he knows, he's better than the post office. He knows when you move into another place and knows how to find you. He's worse than the IRS agent. He will find you. A messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. How many of you have got some messages from the devil before? Notice, the devil didn't come to buffet him. He just sent a message. By the way, the devil can only make threats at you. He cannot hurt you as long as you're under the shelter of the Almighty God. He said, a messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. And that buffet is a word that you would understand it by a boxer or one of those UFC fighters. They'll find a weak place on their opponent and they will continuously attack that place to bring down their opponent. It's the same thing the devil does. I wish I could preach this like God gave it to me. He don't come at you with new stuff. He keeps bringing up all that old stuff because he knows that's a weak place in your life. Is this helping anybody tonight? If it's not, I'm helping myself. A messenger of Satan sent to continuously buffet me. And he said, I sought the Lord three times. God, you've got to take this from me. God said, no, that's not what I'm going to do. I would, but I can't. Because if I took that from you, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. You would think you was a whole lot better than what you really are. Sometimes your problems are really just purposes God has to bring you before him. You got to understand that God knows everything that's happening to you right now. He has the answer for everything happening to you right now. And you're not going to get the answer from anywhere else but him. That's why Paul said, I sought him three times. God, take this from me. God said, nope, I ain't taking it from you. He said, but this is what I am going to do. I'm not going to leave you helpless.
I'm not going to leave you hopeless because I'm God and I'm good and I don't do that to my children. He said, I'm not going to take something from you, but I am going to give something to you. And see, too many times we focus on what we want God to take from us that we don't realize that it's not Him removing something. He wants to give something to us. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul, I can't take that from you because that's got purpose attached to it. But I'm going to give you grace to deal with it. I'm going to give you grace to make it through it. I'm going to give you grace that's going to help. Now watch this. The Bible says, then Paul said, most gladly therefore. How in the world can you go from God, please take it from me, to most gladly therefore? It is what God does not remove but institutes in Paul's life. He said, most gladly therefore will I glory in mine infirmities. How can you go from hurting to happy? How can you go from being rejected and abused and slain to now you're happy and glorifying God? It is in the grace that God instills in the problem times. He said, most gladly, therefore, I will glory in mine infirmities, because here it is, when I was weak, then He gave me strength. When I couldn't make it on my own, God gave me what I need. He gave me a boost. He gave me a dose of what I needed. That when I was weak on my own, God showed me. Now I'm going to show you how strong I really am. How many of you have been to a place that was a weak place for you, but then when God was done with you, to the world, it sure didn't look like it was a strength. That's the grace of God. God is a sheltering help in trouble, and He is a strengthening help in trouble. We had this lady that was in a meeting we were in, and I won't tell you where it was at because preachers usually get mad when you use illustrations out of their church and you're not telling it at their church. And so I won't tell you where we was at, but we was in a meeting, and some of my family was there, and other people were there with us. And we was having a good meeting. God was saving people, and people was on the altar, and it was a lot like what was going on in this place tonight. God was moving. And on Tuesday night, a woman got up from her, I mean, we're getting ready to start the service. Piano is already playing. They've already got a hymn book that they've got in their hands, and they're ready to hit the first note and sing. She jumps up and tries to run out and don't make it, passes out and falls face first. All the preachers are standing there just staring at her, and because preachers can't help you when you fall out and pass out. They don't know what to do. And so a nurse jumped up and rolled her over, and I never will forget it. She hollered out, she's not breathing. And I said, well, this ain't looking good to start service this way. I mean, we're slaying them in the spirit, and we're not charismatic. Some guy comes and checks her pulse and says she don't have a pulse. Some redneck jumps up and runs out to his truck and grabs what they call a defibrillator. He runs in with a defibrillator. What was funny was he reached in his truck past a hunting rifle just to get the defibrillator. I heard that and I laughed. I thought to myself, that man's driving down the road, and in his mind, we either going to kill something or we going to bring something back to life. That's just the way it is. That's how rednecks go to church. Amen. He brought that in and they hooked that lady up. They started doing CPR on her. They got her on a gurney, and the EMS workers was there. We was about 30 minutes into this ordeal when they finally got her outside, and they're working on her trying to bring her back to life. I look back at the preacher, and he says, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, let's just have church. Let's get everybody down here to pray. Let's, whatever song you got picked out, let's just kick it off, and we're going to pray for her and believe God He's going to help her, but let's have church tonight. We've come this far. Let's do it. He said, you don't understand. He said, the song I had picked out was, some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. He said, I don't need to sing that. I said, no, you don't need to sing that. Sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. We kicked that service off and God moved. I did not realize what those people did for that lady. When they were doing CPR on her to help her breathe, had they left her by herself, she would have died. But somebody got down on the floor with her, and when she couldn't breathe, they started breathing for her. When her heart wasn't beating, they hooked her up to something that would send an electric pulse into her heart to get it to start beating again. I didn't realize what they did for her until two nights later on Thursday night, that woman come walking back through those doors, stood up with her hands lifted high, testified about how God had saved her life. And I started thinking to myself, I remember the day when I was dead in my trespasses and sins. I couldn't walk by myself. I couldn't breathe by myself. I couldn't live by myself. But then somebody from heaven got down to where I was at and started working on me. And when I didn't have the strength to live, he breathed into my life. When my heart wasn't beating, he hooked me up with mercy, hooked me up with grace, and hit me with something that's still pumping in my body today. I'm glad that God is a strengthening help when you get in trouble. When you can't do it by yourself, God can do it for you. He's a strengthening help. He is a sheltering help. And I'm done. You can get somebody to come play if you want to. But he's a sure help in trouble. The Bible says God is our refuge. I'm glad God, it wasn't just what God was. But when I woke up this morning, it's still God is. His mercies are new every morning. If you only knew how much he loved you and wants to have a relationship with you. If you ever experienced God in such a way, not just an experience, but have an encounter with God to where he changes your life forever. The rest of your life, anytime the devil comes your way and tells you what you're not, you look at him and say, no, I'm not, but my God is. He's a securing help in trouble. He's a strengthening help in trouble. And he is a sure help in trouble. He's a refuge. He's a strength. And I love this phrase, a very present help. Those words that say a very present help. Don't miss that. Don't get over that. Have you got those friends? Y'all can start playing anytime you want to. I'm done. Y'all got those friends who say, if you ever need me, I got you. I got your back. And then when somebody else is getting your back, you turn around and you can't find them nowhere. Now, I know they don't have friends like that in Lake Park, but in South Carolina they do. And the truth of the matter is I think some people say that if you ever need me, I'm going to be there. They really in that moment mean it. But then when you do get in trouble, they don't know what to do for you. Marriages and homes are falling apart because we've got expectations in other people to be what only God can be. She thinks he's going to save her. And he doesn't. He lets her down. Because he's not a savior. He thinks she's going to be the answer for all his troubles. And he finds out she's not. Because she's not a savior either. There's only one. By the way, church ain't going to save you either. Church people ain't going to save you. I can't testify to him. He's as good a pastor as there's ever been. You got one of the best. But let me say it from this preacher's point of view. Don't ever depend on me to be your savior. I will let you down. because I've let myself down. Trying to do my best not to let my family down. But the truth of the matter is I didn't come to save you. But he did. There's some people who say, I'll be there if you ever need me, and you turn around and you can't find them. And there's people that will not go to church today because they're hiding behind bitterness that somebody let you down. Can I tell you something? You'll die in that bitterness because it will never be fixed as long as you keep looking at them. But tonight, all I'm trying to get you to do, it's as simple and as pitiful a sermon as I've ever preached. But I want you to hear this. He's a sure help when nobody else is. He can save your children even when you can't. He can save your marriage and your home even when you don't have the answer. Grandpa, Grandma, you keep serving God. Keep praying for them babies. He'll go and get you grandchildren. Because he is a sure help in times of trouble. Tomorrow, when you wake up and the devil's ready for you, be ready for him. And say, you go ahead and spew all your poison and lies that you want to about who I used to be and who you think I am now. I'm not who I used to be, because when I wasn't, he is. Aren't you thankful tonight that you've got a God that is? Stand to your feet all over the house, preacher. Come on. I'm finished.